Okay, alrighty. It's getting late, so I'll try to do this quickly. I do want to thank Danny and Bob Dow for inviting us to come. And I do want to acknowledge that this is a presentation put together by two other of my colleagues, Ken Bloom and Nada Crothers. And so I'm going to advance it here. Okay, so I think most of you are familiar with SIT, but just quickly, it's a method of pest control using an area-wide approach to making inundative release of sterile insects to mate with the wild target pest. And so the result is getting an insect that's unable to produce fertile offspring. And in moth programs, this is something to point out, both sterile males and females have efficacy in the program. That's different from dipteran programs. So there's a history of effective and safe use for many successful programs. The longest running program, of course, the screw worm program. Pink bollworm now is over 40 years of operation. Fruit fly programs over 30 years. Coddling moth over 15 years. And the insects are made sterile by radiation treatment methods. There are also other methods being looked at, for example, genetic modification, those sorts of methods, and other complicated crossing techniques. But there's a long history of successful use. Sorry, I'm not used to the scroll. And so basically what we're after is we're releasing sterile males and sterile females. So the possible outcomes in the field, these are the sort of results that we would get, the different sex by sterile sex by wild sex, a wild female with a sterile male, a sterile female with a wild male, and the sterile by sterile cross. Those all result in no offspring. And then, of course, there's what we're trying to do is get enough moths out there so that last potential mating is made very. The probability this happens is very low because there's so many sterile insects out there. Lepidopteran SIT programs have been working in the range of really 200 and 250 grays, and we're getting the information from our colleagues from Hawaii and from down south that maybe 250 grays is the dose we're going to want to use for light brown apple moths, so that's fitting with what we know about other moths. We have an advantage with this program. We're on a fast track to get moving, but we can leverage information that we know from other long-running moth programs. For example, the pink bollworm program, long run in here in California, and now expanded to eradication program across the Western Cotton Belt. So almost all pink bollworm areas in the Western Cotton Belt are now under an eradication program, and SIT is one of the primary tools. Just a little bit about the technology. I'm not going to get into all the details, but just the fact that there exists a whole technology for mass rearing pink bollworm. And so these are some of the pictures from the plant, a lot of automation for making diet and filling trays. Next year, our target, it will be 26 million moths per day to run the program. Here's what the egg production room is like. I think I missed one there. Putting eggs in diet trays, this is the only part of this process here that's not automated. We're still putting eggs into the trays by hand because that still works very well. Radiation treatment. Just moving quickly to coddling moth. Again, a lot of technology developed to run these programs. In coddling moth programs, the first big program was being run in British Columbia in the Okanagan for the apples up there. It's been very successful. This program, this approach has been being used in Africa and South America, and a lot of our trading partners are getting into SIT with coddling moth. And again, some of the technology used, oviposition cages, egg collection, adult collection. This adult collection is something that we're working on for light brown apple moth. We're going to need some method to collect adults in order to sterilize them and get them into the field. And we're, again, leveraging technology that we already have. a little bit of information about the kind of control that was obtained in the Okanagan Canadian SIT program. We're showing through a season for three different years, 95, 96, 97. And these, the first year of the program, we're up to 14 of the high peak in May, 14 moths per trap per week. And in subsequent years of operating the program, you can see that's declining. And here's going on. Notice that the scale has changed now. Now the scale was 14, was the high, now we're at 1. And we're 98, 99, and 2000. Again, showing very low recaptures of moths on traps. That's the primary way to assess how your program's working. And this is the same kind of data are being obtained from the pink borer program. These are the kind of data that we get that show that these sorts of programs are very effective. Okay, LVAM SIT. What do we know? Well, we have some rearing techniques that have been developed mainly from our colleagues in Australia and New Zealand. They've worked on live-round apple moth for a number of years, and they have a system with diet and production techniques that work pretty well. Our challenge is to adapt these to larger scale rearing. Live round apple moth also appears, as I mentioned, to be, we can use the other technology we know. It's what we're calling it a relatively typical moth, so in other words, similar to codling moth, false codling moth, another one, and pink borer in terms of the rearing technologies and radiation biology for other lepidopterans that we know about. What don't we know? Well, we need to see how many can we produce. And so we need to be developing a mass rearing system for egg and adult collection systems, larval rearing trays, and we need to be supporting high production. We don't know how many produce because we haven't gone there yet. We're starting to go there. We need to see what kind of system we can develop and is it feasible to have a very high production system. The second question is how many sterile light-brown alpha moth do we need? And one of the questions Eric Jang was showing work by Don McGinnis, how competitive are the sterile lab-reared moth versus wild moths? Very important. And this relates to, that's one of the questions that relates to how many do we need to release? So one is how effective are the moths that we're releasing, but the other one is what's the pest population look like? So this gets at this notion of what overflooding ratio is needed, and that's the ratio of sterile to wild moths. And taking data from last year up until June for a year's worth of data for the counts in the program areas in California, these are the total number of counts per week based on all their trapping areas. Using that information, and this admittedly is a very rough calculation, the calculation here is that of our highest recapture rate was 3,000 moths in May 2008. And we make an assumption the traps are 0.5% efficient. That works out to a population of 600,000 wild moths at that time when these were catching these moths. So if the overflooding ratio is indeed 20 sterile to one moth, then you would need a population where you work this out of 6 million moths a week. So this is the kind, now we're not claiming that this is exactly the right number, but this is the kind of approach we'll take to determining that. So this could be a number that might work. We may have to adjust this upwards when we get more information. One of the issues is that trap captures in wild population are unevenly distributed, and on top of that, the difference between urban, natural, and agricultural areas, you likely have to take different releases, release rates, and release approaches in some of these areas. So what are we working on now? So we're started an SIT demonstration project. The year one goal is to develop a mass rearing system, and we've set a goal of getting a production up to 500,000 and 1 million moths per week. The reason we picked this number, we think this is something feasible we can afford with the equipment that we we have and are building for this project, something that's doable in this amount of time. In addition, it's a sufficient number of moss that we can really start to address some of these important questions about overflooding ratio and release methods. And so also the act of doing, this is part of the demonstration project. The demonstration project is also demonstrating what kind of technology we need to mass rear this insect. Determine effective radiation dose, handling release methods, test aircraft and ground release methods, as they're in our plans. We're talking about treating several infested areas and looking for a degree of isolation so we can go back to the mouse. A degree of isolation so we can try to separate what effects we're seeing from immigration from other areas. And we're going to be trying to determine what would be a good overflooding ratio, and that would relate to the numbers to release and the release frequency. This is a whole list of things that we need to do to get to where we're going. And a lot of things about rearing, density of eggs, adult collection techniques. Here's something that we've determined just recently, and this is huge. We've determined that extruded pink bollworm diet works very well for rear pink bollworm. And the advantage of this is, especially for our program, this is diet that we can get shipped to us. It's already being made. It's very inexpensive compared to hand-making diet in the lab with some of these other diets. We're getting pretty reasonable production on this diet compared to some of the other standard diets. Leslie Foss, who is in the Albany lab, she has a poster about this. If you want to see more about what work was done on this work, I think that's on Tuesday. Develop just a lot of technology. We need a dust collection system for handling. When you start rearing these insects on semi-industrial scales, there's a lot of things like scales that we need to control. We're developing a modular building rearing system, as I mentioned, dose to radiate, handling cold storage, release techniques, release rates, frequency, and then field assessment methods, mating frequency, recapture rates, and then what kind of quality control measures are we going to use to both ensure that we're producing high quality moss and that our releases are being effective. So it's a lot of stuff to do. The Albany colony at the USDA lab, CFIST has a lab there. When we started this project, producing about 100 pupae per week in June. Right now we're bumping up to 10,000 a week. This is up and down a little bit, but we're on track to keep increasing about 5 times per generation. And here's some of the different kinds of trays. We're trying big trays. The original rearing system were in the smaller cups, and we have a variety of different trays that we're testing. And here's a small portion of pupae from the production. We've developed an egg cage that's pretty efficient. And this is a cage. This is sugar water solution going into the cage. These little strips here, there's a slot, a slit there, and a slit there. And these are plastic cellophane material. LBAM, light brown apple moth, like to lay eggs on shiny surfaces and with wrinkles, like perhaps like a leaf vein or thinking it's a leaf. So we're getting pretty good production out of this. And our estimates right now, we're putting in 500 half female, half males per cage. One of these cages, we're getting the potential to get 15 to 20,000 eggs in a week. We're looking at egg treatment methods for sanitation, and we have two different materials that we're testing. Both of them work pretty well. Here are the sort of strings of eggs. These are the egg masses. At this slide, they look like a string of eggs, but they're eggs laid along the crease of the plastic substrate. We're starting to look at adult collection. We've just built a lab, what we're calling it a lab scale cyclone collector. So not one of the big cyclone collectors that you saw for the collie moth program or for the pink bollworm program if you've been to the facility. But a small system that we can use in a lab to, one, test methods, and two, actually use it to collect moss out of the rearing and more efficiently build up the colony. And this would be a collection box, a dark box. We stick trays in here with either pupae or diet with pupae. We close it up with this lid. This one's closed over here. This is a manifold of PVC, and you can see these black little fiber optic lights. That's a UV light. So the insects are attracted into this tube. This is a cyclone, so it's a blower. It's actually a vacuum motor, and maybe you can see it a little better over here, but this is a way to top the dust, the scales go off, and the bottom, the heavier particles fall down here into a refrigerator, and we have chilled moss that we're ready to work with. We're in the final design phases of what we're calling a modular mass rearing system, and this shows the layout of what we're looking at. We'll have a quarantine entry here. There's something missing here. We're going to have a kill chamber out here so we can take things out to clean. Here we have egg layers. Here's larval rearing. Over here is where we're going to do adult collection, and outside here is where our cyclone system is. We've purchased the two buildings. These are 10 by 40 buildings, and this is a picture from last week. They're just ready to go, put the skin on. These are fiberglass buildings. They're pretty nice buildings. We should have them about mid-December, and we've just now signed a lease for a location. The Cooperative LVAM program will be located with them in Moss Landing out on the coast. So this is we have a big warehouse space here, plenty of room to do our work. And this kind of wraps it up. This is a nice cartoon that Ken found. And I've given a Prop 208, I guess maybe in California, maybe I don't want to get into this one too much, but it does, you know, what's the answer to this question? We're looking for the absence of sex, I guess, or the absence of mating, of fertile sex. And I do want to acknowledge all the folks that have helped us in the Albany lab, a lot of folks. And Leslie's here today. Todd, I put him in Albany. He's actually from Hawaii, but he spent 4 months in Albany. David Medeiros, these are some of the key people. Out of our Phoenix lab, Clody Tate's group is doing a lot of work on the diet development. A lot of people on his staff and my staff are contributing. Dave Lance is helping with radiation biology. Joe Plosky, Ernie Miller in APHIS, Pat McFerrin, Gary Carpenter, Danny Hammond. Didn't know these folks' last names, but a lot of folks are either helping with hands-on stuff, science, and or administrative help, and all of these things are needed to pull something like this off. In CDFA, Jim Rudig and Bob Dowell have been very supportive. And then, of course, the Southern Hemisphere team, Eric gave a pretty good report about the work they're doing on the SIT. And with that, that's the end.
Bill, these buildings that you're having built, they're much different than if you just went to Mobile Modular and said, give me one of your trailers, aren't they? As far as environmental and then the...
Yeah, we're putting in, you think of them like giant environmental chambers.
Yeah.
They've got environmental control, so control humidity, control light, and control temperature. Yes.
Yeah. You mentioned that if you get 500 dogs, you can get 15,000 to 20,000 eggs, I think. So you said, any chance that, I mean, a lot of mass rearing programs, whether it's fruit flies or cotton moths, we notice it, usually eggs are produced in excess. Any chance that there's enough excess that you could rear your grandma on the excess eggs that you produce by
I think it's a real good chance. Dogs? Yeah, sure. And I think we can do better than that. That was sort of a quick estimate of what we've got. I think we can get more than that. I mean, if you go to the literature, some Lycron apple moth females can produce up to 1,200 eggs. So, you know, what are we going to do in a week's time? But we can tweak the system. And I think they don't take much space either. We clearly devote extra space to, say, support a trichobarometer program. That might be a really good thing to try to do. Ajna.
That idea that you catch 3,000 moths per week and traps that you have in the field, and multiplying that to get the 6 million moss that you need to do the innovation. Do you think that that's I think that the 3,000 moss per week reflects the density of traps that they're putting, and you are probably not sampling.
Yeah, no,
area,
that is a huge assumption, assuming that we have a good distribution of traps and that we're not over or under sampling any location. So that's a point well taken. That we need a much more detailed analysis of that sort, really, to get at that number. Part of our work is getting that number. Will be in the process of making releases and seeing what kind of recapture rates are we getting. And we can then control some of those things like trap density.
Other questions?
I want to thank the speakers. You've gotten the idea this is a heavily collaborative effort. You got people in Hawaii, people across the United States, people in foreign countries, people down under. Courtesy of Down Under, we can do IPR and apple moth research 12 months a year. We got people from the private industry like ISCA Technologies who are smiling over here, providing splat and the material against the button, going, I got to ask a nasty question, you know, like, are your traps evenly distributed? Is the trap data useful? As you know, is that smiling over here going, I want to sell my product? Bad time. There's a huge collaboration, and the fact that we've gotten as far as we've gotten in the research and some of the operational ends is due to a hell of a lot of work. Less than 2 years ago, we didn't know we had like brown apple moth. So everything you're seeing has come out in the last less than 2 years, functioning the last 12 to 15 months or less with all the work. So it's a phenomenal effort by everybody, and we want to thank people like Greg Simmons, people like Eric Jang, and everybody, Dave Lance, Ken Bloom, all the people who have given us, Bill Walsh, phenomenal support. And thank you very much. We can't get as far as we get on the operational side without you.
I'd just like to second that. Thank you all the speakers, and thank you all for coming, and I hope you learned something. A lot of work's gone on this project.
It's time to go. It's time to go out.